Governor, I'd like to begin by your first heavy metal bus tour event here. Your lieutenant governor has been here multiple years. Is this kind of a program that could be used statewide? Is this something that you could take and share with the rest of the state of Wisconsin in terms of motivating young people to consider manufacturing careers?
Absolutely. We've had a couple similar tours. I've been on other places. I was the first one here, but we've done some others in other parts of the state. They're very similar like this, but there's still far and few between. I'd love to have in every community connected with every technical college and employers in every part of the state of Wisconsin, just because it's a great opportunity to open the eyes of not only students, but really of parents, of guidance counselors, others, to see there are great careers, not just jobs, but great careers in manufacturing. As I mentioned, the kids, you know, the average pay for manufacturing is $52,000 a year. That's 25% higher than the average pay for all other workers in terms of the whole state entirely. And so that just shows there are great career opportunities in manufacturing. We just need to make sure there's more people ready for that, and getting these kids interested early on is key to that.
What you mentioned you were talking to some Minnesota manufacturers.
Yeah.
What kind of response did you get from them? What's the perception out there? We're hearing different, depending on which report you read.
Yeah.
It gets confusing to the rest of us lay people. What is the perception of Wisconsin's climate and its manufacturing climate?
The group that came over in Osceola was tremendously interested. They looked at the presentation we gave, and certainly we talked about our technical colleges, we talked about education overall, we talked about our worker training program. All that was very impressive to them, along with the overall climate. And then the comparison for them between Minnesota and Wisconsin was night and day difference in terms of the tax climate. Not only in terms of one state dropping taxes overall by about $1.5 billion versus Minnesota raising it by $2 billion, but also just on rates, on corporate rates, individual rates, estate taxes, all those things. And not only for manufacturers, for farmers and others, there was a competitive advantage with Wisconsin. And so we wanted to make sure they knew about that, and we'll continue to.
Governor, speaking of the economy, our viewers want to know more about this casino deal. You said you were arranging a meeting with the 11 tribal leaders. When is that going to happen?
It's going to be midweek this week, and the idea really is to sit down with the Menominee, but with any of the other tribal governments that have raised a concern. I said earlier this year that I would facilitate discussion within that 60-day window to make a decision. And I said about 2.5 years ago I had three criteria. One of them was that all 11 tribes would have to sign off on the ability to move forward on any of that. The reason for that is simple, is that in Wisconsin, gambling is a controlled monopoly, has been long before I was there. It's only limited to those 11 tribes, not to anyone else. And so I thought it was only appropriate in a state where the compacts are set with the state, again, far before I was governor, that like Michigan and other states do, you have agreement in agreement before a project goes forward. I'm hopeful we can sit those the various tribes down that have an interest in this and work out some sort of a win-win. And that way you don't have one area of the state gaining jobs while another area potentially loses them. I'd like to find a way to mitigate that and create a win-win for everyone.
What is your plan to make it a win-win, knowing that some of the leaders are in a disagreement?
I think part of the key is to look at tribes that have raised concerns, is to see how we can mitigate that. Is there a way that they could play a role with the Menominee or in some way where they would benefit? Because as it stands right now, the concern that at least has been laid out publicly is that while there might be some benefits in Kenosha, potentially not only for the Potawatomi, but what for the Ho-Chunk and even for other tribes in the state, they feel like they would risk a loss, and that would lead to a loss of jobs at those sites. And so if you don't have a net increase in jobs, it seems like a lot of commotion to do something where one place gains while the other loses. And we'd like to see if there's a way to balance it out.
What about the increase in gambling? Some are expressing concerns about increase in gambling.
Yeah, my three criteria had to be, and this dates back to early 2011, had to be support from the community, all 11 tribes had to sign off, and no net increase in gaming. So then that goes back to the voters of the state back in the early 1990s. Passed an advisory referendum on a series of questions regarding gambling, one of which was, they said, do you want expanded gambling? And overwhelmingly, the voters at that time said no. And so we'd have to have, they have to make us part of the 60-day window, show us on that third criteria how it would not be in that increase, either through some other facility or location, closing down and offsetting it, or some other way of getting to that.
What effects on this shutdown have you seen on Wisconsin's economy, if any?
I'll let you get one, too. So far, we've been pretty fortunate, mainly because unlike Virginia and California, where they have heavy amounts of federal institutions, we really don't have much of anything on a large scale, so we haven't seen the impact. In the next week or two, all states, not only Wisconsin, are going to start to see it with programs like WIC, Women, Infant, and Children, some of the training programs for veterans. We've been looking at it very closely. My goal would be, if it were to go further, which I hope it doesn't, is to treat it very similarly to what we did when the federal government told us to shut down state parks that took some federal money. And we said, no, thank you. We'll find a way to keep our state parks open with or without their assistance. And that's what we did. You've seen the past week, other states followed our lead and used state resources to keep national parks in their area open. We led the way on that, and I think we can lead the way on other things. But our hope is, at some point in the next week or two, is that all parties involved get up to speed in our nation's capital and do what we've tried to do in Wisconsin, which is make tough but prudent decisions, balance our budget, improve the economy. And in the end, we've seen it pay off in Wisconsin. I hope it will out there.
Getting back to the heavy metal bus tour, you've got Lieutenant Governor here, Secretary Newsom here, trying to reach an impressionable age of young people that really don't know what they want to do yet. Has there been any thought to maybe working with DPI to get some of this into the curriculum and make them work together?
Yeah, we're going to be, one of my stops in the next week is with State Superintendent Tony Evers. We're doing another similar stop in Beloit, and is to work, not necessarily as a mandate, but to work directly with our public as well as our private schools across the state, because it doesn't necessarily mean just public, across the board, K through 12. We put money in the budget to start as early as sixth grade for career, academic and career plans, to start kids thinking early about that. And we want to continue to work with not only with curriculum specifically, but even taking existing things in science and math and working with schools to make adjustments, for example, on math, so they start incorporating math in a way that relates to some of the manufacturing positions that are open, so that kids can get credit there. And then the other big thing is dual enrollments. We talked about it earlier today. We've been working with DPI on that, as well as to work with our technical college to get more dual enrollment programs so kids can get credit for graduation at the same time they get credit for technical college.
Our viewers want to know what advice you would give to the Republicans in Washington to work through the shutdown, knowing you're potentially a possible presidential candidate in the future.
Well, I'll skip the latter part, but the first part of the question is, it, to me, is to do what we've done in Wisconsin, what other states have done across the country, and that is just hunker down, put real solutions on the table, have the executive branch work together with the legislative branch, and it goes both ways. The members of Congress need to listen and work with the president. The president needs to literally sit down and work with members of Congress. That's what we did in Wisconsin. You know, even with members of my own party in charge of the Assembly and Senate, we still occasionally have slight disagreements. We sit down each week. We talk through those differences. We find a way to move things forward, and that's what they need to do in Washington. Right now, the sorry part about it appears to be that people are talking over each other and not talking at each other, but not with each other. And that's the lesson hopefully they learn, not just from Wisconsin, but from other states.
Right here in Southfield County, there have been efforts from a variety of entities, including Mid-State Technical College, to kind of work with that private partnership, private-public partnership, you know, with educational institutions and other organizations to address workforce development. What are your thoughts on, you know, this area of central Wisconsin being a leader in that aspect of, you know, working to improve the economy?
Well, I think it's a model, and I think the areas in terms of worker training, workforce development around the state, the areas that have worked the most successfully are the model that Mid-States is using here, and there's a handful of other technical colleges around the state that are doing a similar thing. You can't do it exclusive of the private sector. It has to be a model where the private sector is involved, not only in terms of making that connection, but even in terms of resources. And in turn, the technical college the technical college in any given region has to make sure that in turn they're responsive to the specific needs and concerns of employers. So they're not putting out a certain type of degree when there's not a need or demand there, or conversely, not responding to openings in the private sector. So really, the more frequent communication, the more partnership there is, the more shared accountability there is, employers will step up and put money and time and resources and equipment, in many cases, behind technical colleges that are responding to the needs that they have for the jobs they need right now, as well as those in the future.
Thanks, everyone.
Great. Thanks for coming.